Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
William McHenry University Athletics.
Every sport you find exciting.
Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
And my
This is Crusader Talk. Crusader Talk. We're covering everything William Carey University Athletics. From the field to the court and the diamond on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com. Now, here's your host, Ben Milam.
Well, good evening and a happy Monday to you all. Welcome to the first edition of Crusader Talk. It's been a long time coming. We are very happy to be here with you live from the Southern Bancorp studio here in Hattiesburg. My name is Ben Milam, here with my friend Caleb Hamill. We are also available on podcast, in podcast form on every podcast platform. That's Apple Music, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, and about 15 other ones that I won't list here. We're live here on 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com every Monday at 7 o'clock. And as I said, Caleb, bring you in here. It's been a long time coming. Me and you both over the last 3 or 4 years have been behind the mic for William Carey and have gotten the pleasure of being up close to Crusader Athletics. And it's a pleasure to be able to shine a spotlight on William Carey sports for a little bit.
It's about time. Yeah. And to be honest, for a guy like me who moved to Hattiesburg back in about 2017, really didn't know a whole lot about what William Carey had to offer. You know, anybody that talks about college in Hattiesburg, Southern Miss is the first thing that comes to mind. But William Carey has just, one, won my heart. But two, they have so much to offer, yeah, especially in the form of athletics, which is what a majority of our podcast and show will get to be about. But Ben, from just our few years here, we can already tell that the Crusaders perform at a high level and perform in high-level competitions, yeah, to go with that as well. And might I add, for William Carey, this is, I think, the fourth collegiate athletics podcast that's been added to the network. I think they have saved the best intro for last right here. They have finally nailed it.
I think so, too. Yeah, and to your point, I think a lot of people miss, when they think about NAIA athletics, they miss the level of competition it is, unless they are going to games or have been exposed to it through various mediums like a radio show or a podcast. So we're glad to have you here on this Monday night. And we're going to have a full show for you here. We're going to do all basketball. We are in the throes of the last stretch of the regular season for both the men's and women's Crusader basketball teams. We're going to get to talk to assistant coach Eric Burt tonight alongside Hattiesburg Oak Grove legend TJ Ward. We'll bring him along shortly. Coach Burt, will bring you along here. It's, you know, I imagine you've been with William Carey for a decade. I imagine it's never a less exciting thing to be towards the end of the regular season, approaching postseason play, regardless of how the year is going.
Yeah, exactly. It's been a long year so far. We got roughly two weeks left. And about during this time, pretty much injuries occur, and we're banged up, and a lot of other teams in our conference are banged up too. So it's pretty much, we're almost at the finish line. It's whoever can stay the healthiest and whoever can help finish this season out, yep, will be on top.
We'll dig into this season in a little further detail when we bring TJ along. Coach, first of all, we were talking before the show. You've been at William Carey for a long time. Take us through your story of playing at William Carey and your coaching career to this point.
Okay. I finished Petal High School in 1995, and I came over here and joined the Crusaders in 95-96. I was redshirted my first year, and I came and I played the next year from 1996 to 2000. During that time, we won a conference tournament in 96-97, and we were tied for first place with the University of Mobile, who we play tomorrow night, in 1997-98. Mm-hmm. My junior and my senior year, junior year was a little rough. We finished right around 500, but we had a good winning record in conference. We were third seed in that conference. And my senior year, we finished 22-12, I believe. And whenever you talk about NAIA ball, I played with a lot of guys who were D1s, who played at the D1 level, who transferred down. So there's a ton of talent at, yeah, the NAIA level.
Yeah, absolutely. Caleb, get in here.
Well, you mentioned a bunch of guys, you know, back in your day that would come down from D1 to mm-hmm. NAIA. One of your biggest roles with William Carey is the recruitment side. You and Coach PJ,
yes.
You're hitting the recruiting trail constantly.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about what that's like for you to balance not only that, but assistant coaching the varsity squad and coaching JV.
Yes, we have a JV. We have a developmental squad. We play about 14 games during the year. We'll play about seven junior colleges in the area in Louisiana and in Alabama, and we'll play a lot of prep schools and post grads. If we don't have a JV, if we don't have a JV game on Monday or Tuesday, we're out on the road recruiting. You'll see us in the gym somewhere. We'll either be at a JUCO game, or we will be at a post grad game, or we'll be at a high school game. It never stops, especially during this time of the year. And the relationships that you build with players and recruits carries on over in March, April, and May during the real part of the recruiting season when you get them on campus and everything. So it's a constant grind. It's the best job in the world to do, but it is a constant, constant grind.
Now for you on the varsity squad, you know, each coach has his own little niche of responsibilities. Coach Knight is the one that's getting in the ears of the referees and, you know, guiding all the players to get subbed in and live action on the court. But for you, you have, you know, certain sub-responsibilities throughout the gameplay. Tell us a little bit about your role.
Pretty much a little bit of anything and everything and in between. I mean, our jobs, myself and Coach PJ, we do game prep, we do stats, we do ins and outs pretty much. We do all the behind-the-scenes work. And believe me, if I cannot say a word to a referee, Coach Knight will definitely get on me if I turn around and say anything to an official. That's not my job.
Yep.
That's Coach Knight's. And pretty much, I mean, we've got game situations coming up with players during the – I'd say you've got a certain player you want to get on the free throw line in certain situations, or a player that you don't want to foul. So there's a lot that goes into basketball. There is a lot. You see the finished product out there on the court, but there is so much stuff that goes on behind the scenes.
Well, Coach Burt, when you're out on the recruiting trail, let's hypothetical. Caleb Hamill is a prospective basketball player. He's a stretch guard. He can really shoot the three well. What's your recruiting pitch to Caleb?
Well, the recruiting pitch is we have a lot to offer at William Carey. We have about seven programs that pretty much academically we can offer to help you with. We have a med school on campus too, so we get a lot of kids who want to go into biology and want to go into different things. We can actually offer that on campus. But the main thing what we do is we want to get you on campus just to get the Carey experience to see everything.
Yeah. And I think that's a big part of it, too. We touched on it in the open a little bit. I'd imagine it's such a big deal to get kids on campus because right. they when they go to a game at Clinton Gymnasium, they see how high level the competition is. Mm-hmm. You have guys who play in NAIA who go on to play pro ball and
right.
guys who transfer to Division I schools. And, you know, especially in the SSAC,
yeah.
the competition is especially large. I mean, the two national championship teams – last year, two teams playing in the national championship,
that's
SSA
right.
teams.
They were SSA. Yeah. That's right. That's right. And one funny thing about all the recruiting things is you are always trying to uncover things. You're always following a trail. You're always trying to see where a kid transferred to.
Yeah.
And with this day and age with COVID, kids have an extra year. So you could have a kid who, say, was at a JUCO in Mississippi. He goes out to a JUCO in Texas. You're still going to keep tabs on that kid because you've made a personal relationship. Mm-hmm. By recruiting him, recruiting his friends, and going to watch his ball games.
Yeah.
So you know where these kids are, and it's just a case of going over and basically doing your legwork, you know, in recruiting.
I'm curious. You've got guys from all over the country on the roster, obviously an emphasis on the Southeast. What is there a specific emphasis to staying local as well as you can and just working out, or what's the philosophy there?
For some cases, it is. For some cases, you can stay local, but you can go to places in Louisiana. New Orleans is a hotbed to go to recruit.
Yeah.
Baton Rouge is really a good place to go to recruit. Places in Florida and Alabama, it's really just – networking and knowing assistant coaches or knowing head coaches in other places. And really, it's all the legwork that you do in recruiting. It's a constant grind, man.
Well, talking about y'all, this is just around the Hattiesburg area. We've got Emil Cazeneza from Rwanda, for crying out loud. Now, granted, he played at Grace Baptist Academy.
He
He's
That's
kind
right.
of a, you know, Mississippi by, you know, yeah. baptism.
Two Rwandans.
Two Rwandans. Yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah, yeah, that was an interesting case because, fortunately, whenever we got to recruiting those guys had already been in America. And whenever you try to get an international kid, there is a ton of paperwork involved.
Mm.
And they speak very fluid English, too, and so
sure.
the language barrier right there. But they're really, really group of good kids. I like those two.
We're talking to Eric Burt, assistant of the men's basketball Crusaders. We're going to talk to TJ Ward in our following segment. We're also going to cover the ladies basketball side of things a little later in the show. Coach, a couple of minutes left in this segment. One of the great things about William Carey, especially William Carey Athletics, we talked about this last week on the Eagle Hour, the guys who have been around for so long.
Yeah.
Steve Knight, obviously, at the forefront of that in his 41st year, mm-hmm. the all-time winningest collegiate basketball coach in Mississippi history. What's it like to be under Coach Knight, work with him day in and day out?
It's amazing how detailed he can be about things. And he can remember things about teams, and he can remember things such as plays, and he can remember things as far as people that happened yesterday that also happened about 20 years ago.
Sure.
You know, and he's very thorough. He remembers the play. He remembers the exact moment that it happened. And it's an honor to work with him.
Before there was Google, there was Steve Knight.
Yes, exactly. Yes, sir.
I know you guys who were up with us in the open and heard we were going to talk to TJ Ward are scrambling to hear from TJ. You'll hear from him in the following segment. This is Crusader Talk. Back in a moment.
You're listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Crusader Talk continues on this Monday evening. Ben Milam, Caleb Hamill with you from the Southern Bancorp Studios here at Super Talk Mississippi. We'll now get a chance to talk to TJ Ward, senior guard of these William Carey Crusaders on the men's side of things. And TJ, we'll bring you in here. Got a really interesting story.
Hold on.
Uh-huh.
That's all your intro is for this guy? Just senior guard. We've got to have the proper introduction for a guy like this. Local product. All right, here we go. This is the first show. We got to work all these kinks out.
Well, I before you do that, Caleb, I'm assuming people know TJ Ward. He's a Hattiesburg staple, but you're exactly right.
This podcast, though, is nationwide.
That's true.
Nationwide.
Run through it. Who is TJ Ward, Caleb?
Senior guard, 6'3", 179 from Oak Grove High School. Number one in your program and number one in your heart.
There you go.
TJ Ward.
Wow. I was not going to do that. I'm glad I have a co-host. TJ, great to have you here, man. But yeah, there you go. Thanks, Will. Will Tony, our producer, engineer, everybody. TJ, you do not have a traditional path to college basketball. Oak Grove product, your standout guard there. But take us through that. You spent a few years in college where you were not playing basketball, ended up at William Carey. What went into that?
So after I graduated from Oak Grove, actually, I didn't have an opportunity anywhere. After I graduated, I went to the oil field. And as I was in the oil field, everybody told me, go to college. Because out there, yeah, I was like, yeah, I'm not doing this. Went to college. I was actually running track, as you probably can tell. I was running track, and I was like, I honestly don't want to do this because when I got there, the coach left. So I didn't do that. So then I commuted back. I went to PRC down here. Mm-hmm. And then 1 year, I actually talked to PJ. He actually gave me a chance. Thank God he gave me a chance. So when I came in, I was on the JV team with Bert and PJ. And then I had it set in my mind that I wanted to play varsity. Yeah. So I asked Coach Knight one day, I asked him when he was doing evaluations to like know who he's moving up and everything. And then luckily, well, thank God I got my chance. So now I'm here.
Well, and you've run with it too. Pun not intended there of the track joke. I did not know about the oil field thing. Is there anything you take from that experience to your basketball playing on the court? I imagine that was kind of a grueling experience.
As Bert said, it's a grind. It's literally a grind, standing up there for 10 hours, drilling pipe, pause, into the ground. So it's a grind. It's definitely a grind.
Well, TJ, one, that's awesome. I never knew that about you. for Coach PJ in this recruiting process for you, you know, bringing you one to William Carey, but also spending a year under Coach Bird and Coach PJ in the JV, how did you get to develop as a player ahead of you ascending to varsity?
Oh, the develop stage. Okay. So developing with PJ and Bert is, it's amazing. So you actually, like he said, in JV, you get a lot of reps. So, like, it's really just a lot of repetition. You get a lot of shots. You work on your ball handling. You definitely work on your defense. And PJ is probably one of the greatest strength and conditioning coaches you will meet in North America.
Yeah.
So, yeah, with him and Bert, I mean, Bert constantly staying on you, making sure your grades and stuff are ready, your play NAIA, that's a hassle. And then they just stay on your back, you know, because they want better for you. Because, like, they don't want JV just to be it for a lot of students.
Yeah.
So they stayed on me, and then it kept going from there. So
what was it like transitioning from just being in the workforce and not playing ball to being in college basketball? I mean, I took a year off of sports, and they had to take me off in a wheelchair after playing intramural sports. I mean, I imagine it was a little difficult to get back into it.
Yeah, so when I wasn't playing, I was actually right here at Temple just anytime I could, just working out, putting mm-hmm. up shots, and running around, like, just still something in my head was just telling me just to keep playing. Because, like, at one point I was like, man, I'm finna give up on it. I'm not going to get my shot. But some just told me just keep working out, just keep working on it. And then finally got my shot and just transitioning over. It definitely was faster. And, you know, like, I definitely had to get in more shape than I was. So, I mean, it wasn't hard, but since I already had the mindset that, of course, I'm here now, so now that's one dream down. Just keep knocking down goals and keep going. Just keep stacking, just keep going, climb the ladder.
So I want to bring Coach Burt back into this. So, Coach, and you being a part of this coaching staff, both on JV and in varsity, mm-hmm. you know, developing TJ into this varsity player that he is now, what was the biggest hurdle you had to overcome in getting him ready?
Well, he had been out for a while. And so whenever you transition back from the workforce or wherever you are into college basketball, it's the speed and it's the pace. And so it took a year just to get him ready for it. And like he said, he went through all the drills. He went through all the conditioning. He went through everything that we had, and he turned out good. It took a while. But, of course, it takes a while for people who have not been practicing or haven't been in the sport for a while. It's a development. It's a process.
Now, that conditioning comes in clutch when you have yes. to play a game like what they did earlier in this weekend against Dalton State. I think yes. the most minutes TJ's ever put into a game, what was it, at 29 minutes of work against Dalton State? I know a lot of that is guys that are injured, and so it's next man up. But, TJ, how do you – one, are you feeling okay? Are you sore after that? How do you recover from a long marathon like that?
Oh, I'm happy y'all asked this one. So we have this thing in practice, and every William Carey guy who's ever played for Coach Knight probably understands it. Links. Lord have mercy. If you know what links is, all right, you get on the baseline, you have 5 touches. So we do that, and then we'll do it 5 times just to warm up before practice. So, like, conditioning is probably not – it is a hassle in-game, because in-game conditioning and practice is different, but, like, I feel like they really prepared us for that. Like, everybody's prepared for any conditioning or anything like that. But it's definitely links. Links. And links do hurt.
Links is a mental thing. We do links before we even touch a basketball in practice. And you've got to make 5 links or however many links we've set aside for that day. And if you don't make it, hey, we just keep on doing it until the whole team makes the links. It's a mental thing.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
I think I'd be done for the day after doing just one of those. Well, TJ, that does lead to my next question. Obviously, shorthanded, we were talking before the show, for most of the year, you guys have not been able to play 5-on-5 scrimmage in practice just because of injuries and some other factors, just guys being out throughout the length of the year. What has been the process of getting more minutes? And also, I mean, everybody's getting more minutes, right? Just out of necessity, what's been the atmosphere in the locker room at practice and in games when you guys are having to play more and more just because there are guys out?
The atmosphere in the locker room is always great. Like, everybody always has each other's back. And, like, usually before games, like, if you see us on the court, I'm usually out there telling us, have each other's back, you know what I'm saying, throughout the game. Because we know that we're shorthanded. And we know that people are going to have to step up, as Coach Knight would tell us, like, people are actually going to have to step up. So in practice and stuff, like, we'll do different drills. Like, one day we did 4-on-4.
Yeah.
And then we some days we'll work on transition, like 3-on-2, 2-on-1, stuff like that. It's just different drills we'll do. And like we'll do pick and roll and stuff like that, just stuff that we can do with the people that we do have. So we always find a way to like work some kind of way.
So for you, TJ, I know we mentioned the time you spend out on the oil rig and away from, you know, schooling and basketball, but that set you up as now one of the older guys on this team. How does that, you know, add to the dynamic in the locker room? And do you kind of – are you intimidating to other guys out there just with your age? Because a lot of these guys were born even after 9/11, for crying out loud.
Yes, to be honest, if you ask Bert, I'm probably one of the most intimidating guys on the team. No, I'm more of one of the goofier guys on the team. I try to keep it positive because I know, like, during the preseason and stuff like that, for example, it was hard. Like, we had to get up at 6 a.m. and stuff like that. But I try to always bring, like, a good attitude because when adversity hits, like, you will learn a lot about a person. So having a good attitude during adversity, like, come on, guys, we good. We got a lot of time and stuff like that. Like, it helps a lot.
Well, guys, very appreciative of you spending some time with us Tuesday night. That's tomorrow night. Back in Clinton Gymnasium against Mobile. Before we let you go, you can both answer this. What's the challenge that Mobile brings into Clinton tomorrow night?
Okay, well, the challenge they bring is they are hard-nosed. They're very tough. They're +6 on the boards this year, and they crash the boards relentlessly.
Yeah.
We've got to box out, and we've got to play defense tomorrow night.
Yeah.
It's going to be a hard-nosed game because University of Mobile is a hard-nosed team.
Sure.
So we've got to bring the effort and energy on defense.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Just to piggyback off Bert, yeah, we really just have to block out, play hard, even with the numbers we got. Like they say, we only need 5 players on the court, so the 5 that are out there, we got to bring it and just be ready to play.
And, Ben, for you, your keys to the game are try to balance out all of these repeat last names on the broadcast whenever you get to game.
It's tough.
It's already tough with a couple Smiths on our team.
Two Smiths, two Moores.
Two Moores, that's and right. Then you had all the ones from Mobile that were doubles as well.
Yeah, that's exactly right. TJ, Coach Burt, thank you all so much for being on. TJ, one quick thing. Last year, I do want to make sure people know this because this was away from Hattiesburg, and we were up in Blue Mountain, Mississippi last year. One of the better dunks that I have seen live, two-handed jam, TJ, over a couple of defenders. I was texting people in the middle of the broadcast that knew TJ to tell them that he'd done that. TJ, I'd love to see another one tomorrow night.
I'll try my best. Right. I got you.
Thank you, TJ. Thank you, Coach Burt. This is Crusader Talk. When we come back, we'll talk to Coach English and Lauren Rowley of the Lady Crusaders. Back in just a moment.
You're tuned in to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
We're back here on Crusader Talk on Super Talk Mississippi 97.3 or wherever you get podcasts from. We are now about to be joined by Coach Tracy English of the William Carey Lady Crusaders and also a standout player for them, Lauren Rowley. But, Ben, I guess because I've done this for TJ, I have to do this for Lauren, too, now.
Yes, you do.
I do. Okay. At guard, a junior at 5'10" from Foxworth, Mississippi, number 10, Lauren Rowley.
Goosebumps, Taylor. Thank you. Coach English, Lauren, thank you all so much for being here. Coach, obviously, a lot of people are going to know your name just from the Hattiesburg area. First question I want to ask, I mean, we touched on this a little bit with Coach Burt and TJ, just how many people have been around William Carey for so long, and that's part of what makes William Carey such a great place. That's what makes the athletics program. It just gives you that consistency. Here in your 33rd year with William Carey in a coaching capacity, what does that mean when you hear 33 years, first of all?
That's a long time. it's been a great trip, and it continues to be. I was talking with Lauren before we came in here about it, and we were getting a little bit of history, you know, from me, about me and what I'd done. And I was actually here. I actually played 2 years for John Stevenson before Steve got there. So
So I
was on Steve's first two teams.
Yeah.
So I've been around, and he and I and Bobby Hofford and now Danny Owens, you know, right. We're working on some years.
That was actually one of the pre-show notes that we had gotten together just thinking about what we would talk about with you. What is it about William Carey that just promotes longevity from their coaches? You mentioned Coach Hofford, Coach Knight, yourself. You know, Coach Owens is getting there. You know, what is it about William Carey?
Just good people. I mean, it's good people. It's fun to go to work every day there. I mean, granted, I've been there, I think, four or five different presidents we've had, and everyone's, you know, done a great job, been easy to work for. I worked for Steve when he was the AD. Just good people. There's a lot of people, but besides just the coaches that have been around there for a long time, too. So it's family. It's family. They bill it as that, and that's exactly what it is.
Yeah. Lauren, to continue that theme, we'll bring in here. You're a local-ish product. Played your basketball, high school basketball at Columbia Academy. What was the draw for you to William Carey?
Definitely being close to home. But I had offers to other places, but that was what really sold it. And Coach English, of course, he's awesome. And I've loved all 4 years here, so... And I'm glad I get a COVID year to have another year. That'll be lots of fun.
Check is in the mail, right?
Oh, yeah.
Talking with Coach Tracy English and Lauren Rowley from the women's basketball team of William Carey University. Coach English, you know, one of your other duties over the years being in basketball at William Carey has not only been coaching the women's team, but also assisting Coach Knight. When I got to host a show with him for a season, I asked about you and your history with him, and in Coach Knight's words, and I'll paraphrase here, Tracy knows when I'm about to call a timeout. He knows things before I even say them. He's already getting a guy ready to sub in. Y'all are in step just about throughout a game.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, I played for him and just grew up. I mean, he taught me the game, the coaching aspect of it. We both played for the same high school coach, but, you know, a lot of the stuff that I do, I did with him, you know, with our team. Lauren sees what we do in practice every day and what we do in a basketball game. A lot of that's I've done over the years with Coach Knight, and I've learned the game from him.
Yeah. Well, Coach, obviously, one of them being next to you, you've kind of had a core a little bit of personnel-wise on your roster for the last 3 or 4 years. And Lauren is one of them who has another year after COVID. McKinley Seal, Gabby Gallup, Rebecca Engel are the names that come to mind there. What has it been like to have those girls, and I'm sure I'm missing somebody there, to lay the foundation for the success over these last 3 or 4 years?
Well, I mean, it's almost we're just repeating what we just talked about. Those kids have played together for 4 years. They've grown up together, and they've been with me and – the four of them actually know what the other one's going to do before it happens. So it's been, you know, the good thing about those kids is they came to school pretty much knowing what they wanted to do academically wise. They're there for their future. They've laid the ground rules for what we've got to come. You know, I mean, we're recruiting and we're bringing kids in, and I'm really pumped at the fact that Lauren's going to be back another year because she and Gabby both will be there to kind of teach the new kids coming in how to do things, you know, the way we do them, the way they've learned to do them, and which is the right way. They do everything the right way.
Yeah. Well, I'm interested. I imagine it's part of the recruiting philosophy a little bit to bring in girls like that. I mean, it's game in and game out. One characteristic I would use to describe the team is hard nose. I mean, there's always somebody hitting the floor, somebody leaving the game to get patched up because they got hit in the mouth. What is it, or I guess how has it helped having that core group instill that kind of culture?
Well, I mean, it's been awesome. It's there's parts of the stuff that we do that we don't have to worry about, that we don't work on from the very first day, because I don't have to teach that to the new kids. They do. I mean, they go out and they do it in practice every day. The new kids see it the way they do it, and And I hear them all the time telling them, picking them up and telling them, you know, do it this way, do it that way. So it's been really good. And you talk about the type of kids that we've got in. Don't forget that we got the best players available to us. I mean, those kids can play. I mean, if you've ever seen us play, Lauren Riley can play.
Yeah, she definitely
Kinley
can.
Kinley Seal can play. Yeah. Rebecca Engel can play. They can play. Gabby Gallup, you know, they can play. So it's not just a certain type. We went out and got the best players, and together, you know, they're a family and they do things the right way. So
now, one of the pieces of this family, we got to talk to Coach Bird earlier, who's an assistant coach for the men's team. Your assistant coach does a lot of grunt work on the back end for your team and on the front end for that matter too. And that's Coach Garriga. What has been the biggest piece of this team that she's brought to the table?
Well, she recruits. I mean, you know, she's in high school gyms. She's in junior college gyms. I think that's where she is tonight, actually. I think she was, because she's been texting me all night, you need to watch this Pearl River game. You need to do this. But she's in the gym all the time. She has kids, her own kids that play. So she, not only is she out recruiting, she's out following them, and she gets to see kids that way as well. So she's that. She's very structured human being. I mean, she's going to do things just like the kids do. She's going to do it the right way. She's never going to cut a corner. So she's just perfect assistant coach right now.
Yeah, what's your relationship like, Lauren Riley, with Coach Garriga?
Oh, Coach, she's awesome. You know, she motivates us more than anything on and off the court to be the best that we can be basketball-wise and just in life. She is a great influence.
Well, Lauren, I will echo Coach English's sentiment. I know Lauren Riley can play a little ball. You are, I don't know if you know this, the fourth leading scorer in NAIA women's basketball at 15.5 points a game. Talk about this season specifically. What's gone right for you on the offensive end?
Well, the ball goes in the net. But
yeah, good answer.
I think confidence, Coach English's confidence in me especially helps with that, because I never have to worry. Just go out and play, and it's easy. And my teammates do a good job of getting me the ball in places that I can score. So confidence would definitely be the main thing there.
Freshman year back in 2019, you've seen, I guess this would be your fourth year.
Mm-hmm.
Every team has a different identity, obviously. What makes this team unique?
I think us playing together, the core group of us for 4 years now, really helps. Like Coach English said, we know what each other are going to do before we even do it, and so I think that helps a lot. And everybody, there's not a single person on our team who I don't think goes out every day to get better and wanting to win. We all have that in common. Our goal is to win every basketball game that we play. Yeah. And Coach English and Coach G's too, they motivate us to do the best that we can in order to win.
You can both answer this one, but 2 weeks of regular season basketball left and the seedings for the conference tournament starting to shape up. What do you need, Coach, in these next 2 weeks? And, Lauren, what does the team need to do in these next 2 weeks to give you the best possible chance to roll into the conference tournament with some momentum?
Well, I'll tell you this. We need to win tomorrow, okay, because they're on our heels.
Yeah.
University of Mobile is on our heels. And also the two teams right in front of us have got a two-game lead on us. I don't know that there's enough time to catch Bruton Parker if we tie them. They've got the tiebreaker on us. Essentially, that puts them three games ahead on it.
Yeah.
But even if we beat them, they'd have a tiebreaker because they have beat the number one team, and that's where it starts at. Faulkner, I think we've got a chance with them. I haven't really looked at the tiebreaker, the way that goes. But the goal all year long is we knew how good Loyola was, and the goal, because we get two automatic bids, is to be opposite of them in the tournament, in the bracket, and that's going to be hard to do it. Unless we we've got to take care of our business the next 2 weeks is what we've got to do.
Now, I hate to turn back time and look back behind us, but the 1 year that I got to broadcast y'all's games was the year right after COVID, when things were still pretty restricted, crowds were slim, and y'all faced a pretty tough hand that was dealt to you in having a COVID outbreak on your team right before the conference tournament. That was a team that had a lot of potential and was, I think, positioned squarely in second for the conference. Definitely a team that had a chance to be the first in a long time to be in the NAIA. So instead of just focusing on just that team, what is it going to take for William Carey to jump back into that mix and get to the national tournament?
Well, I think we're there. I mean, I think we're right there knocking on the door every day. I mean, if you go back and if you look at our season this year, we've had a couple of games just simply taken from us because of Blue Mountain the other day. We lose that one. We have an opportunity over at Bruton Parker early in the year where we got three consecutive stops and we went down three straight times on the offensive end, game tied, and just could not finish. You know, I think if I remember correctly, it's just stuff like that. I mean, yeah. Rebecca Engel going to the basket, trips, falls, called travel on her. I think you were there. Lawrence on the same side of the floor, the next trip down, comes down, gets fouled, puts the ball up, it goes in, gives us the lead. Next thing you know, you hear a whistle, and they're calling her for a charge. And then the next trip down, we get an illegal screen called against us, and we just don't score. And finally, the time runs out on us, and that's a game that was big for us that we didn't get. And we're used to closing those games out. We have been all year long. There's been two or three of those that's kept us from finishing.
So. Right. Well, two big ones this week, Tuesday night against Mobile, Saturday in Montgomery against Faulkner University. Tracy English, head coach of our women's Lady Crusaders, and Lauren Rowley, star guard of these Crusaders. Thank you so much for being with us. We'll be right back.
Talking everything William Carey University Athletics.
This is Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Ben Milam, Caleb Hamill with you here alongside our producer engineer Will Tony, wrapping things up on this first edition of the Crusader Talk show. And I do quickly want to say, first of all, glad to have you with us on this Monday evening. A lot of different things you could do with your Monday night. Glad to have you spend part of it with us. Caleb, we are rolling right into hurtling towards, to use that verbiage, the most busy part of the year, or at least one of the most busy, when all of these winter sports start to stack on top of the spring sports. Obviously, men's and women's basketball, as we talked to those guys earlier in the show, 2 weeks of the regular season left. Baseball got started last weekend. Coach Fletcher and the softball Crusaders rolling right along. They'll be on the road this weekend. Lots to talk about, and if you're a Crusader fan, there's a whole lot to take in.
It is so different to just consume NAIA ball where things happen at least 2 weeks, if not three or more, earlier than you would expect from a Division I. So to think we're in the first week of February, and we've already got a series of baseball under our belts.
That's right.
We're still in the thick of the hardest part of the regular season of basketball. But no better time to be consuming sports.
There is not. Caleb, run us through the upcoming schedule for the Crusaders this week.
All right. Well, we just talked with both assistant coach Eric Bird of the men's team and then Coach English, head of the women's team for basketball. They have a set of games against Mobile tomorrow night at Clinton Gymnasium. You'll definitely want to be out there for that one. Mobile, kind of a bit of a rivalry team when it comes to William Carey, especially since they've joined the SSAC. With women's and men's, women's game will be at 5:30. Men's game will follow roughly around 7:30. Ben, you'll be on the call for those, but that is tomorrow night. And then baseball, again, kicking into high gear, but they have a game against Culver Stockton College, in fact, a doubleheader, on the 10th starting at 2 p.m., and then they'll also play a 12 o'clock game on the 11th. Both of those at home at Milton Wheeler Field. Softball, they've got a handful of games this weekend.
Opening weekend for
opening weekend Crusader. For softball. And I don't have their opponent put in front of my face right now, but they have two games on the 10th and two on the 11th as well. And then you've got men's and women's basketball over Montgomery against Faulkner. A little bit of a drive for you on the 11th. Women's game at 12, men's game at 2.
Whole lot of Crusader action already in the books early in this spring season. And Caleb, one thing we have not gotten a chance to talk about, we will do a full wrap up next week. Coach Hextrom and his track Crusaders took part in the SSAC Indoor Track and Field Championships to conclude the indoor season. Of course, they will roll right into outdoor in Birmingham, but we're going to hopefully talk to Coach Hegstrom sometime in the next couple of weeks as his Crusaders roll right along. Caleb, when you look at this schedule, a lot of things to be really excited about. We have mentioned a few of the things on the basketball side, and you mentioned softball and baseball. Big things expected out of those groups this year. Anything that jumps out on you that you're particularly excited about as we move into this busy season?
Hard to be partial on this show where we represent all athletics, but I got to tell you, baseball is so exciting.
Well, you're a baseball guy.
I am a baseball, guy. And for us to be out there at Milton Wheeler this weekend was just, it just felt so right. I mean, the weather was perfect for it. And that, those games against Campbellsville University, which great showing from the fans and the players for that matter, gave us three really good ones. I mean, for you on Sunday, that game went right down to the wire towards the end. It almost got a little too interesting. So for those of you that didn't keep track, William Carey had a 13-2 lead that was closed in on. They had the tying run at the plate, if I remember
That's
right.
correct.
And John Snyder came in and got the final out and got the save, and William Carey was able to come away with that victory. But we had a seven-inning game that was not in the place we thought it was, so William Carey, we thought, hit a walk-off a sack fly to win it, and then all of a sudden they sent the next batter to the plate and still won that game, 9-8, and then came up short in the one in between. But all in all, William Carey has a lot of talent on this baseball team, some that are not able to play quite yet that we'll get to see later on in the season. So a lot of room to grow already.
Yeah, big series win for Coach Halford and his Crusaders to start off the season. Again, softball will open up this weekend on the road. They will be home next week. Next Tuesday, I believe, is the first home game. That is correct. And we hope to have you out there. If you have not been out to those facilities, first-class facilities, that I think will blow you away. And great place to catch a baseball or softball game. Again, Tuesday night, 5:30 tip-off for the ladies on the basketball side of things. That is tomorrow night. 7:30 for the men. And then a noon tip-off on Saturday against Faulkner up in Montgomery. We will have that right here on Super Talk Mississippi on 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com at a 2 o'clock tip for the men. Caleb Hamill, my friend, great to be with you here and to break the seal on Crusader Talk.
Hey, man, this is fun. I think we're going to do this again sometime.
How about next Monday, 7 o'clock?
I'll be there.
For Caleb Hamill, for Will Tony, our producer engineer, my name is Ben Milam. Thanks for being with us for the first edition of Crusader Talk. We'll be back with you next week. Until then, go Saders.
Talk Mississippi Media Production.